This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Charlie Batch joins us, former Steeler quarterback, Steelers Radio Network. Hey, Charlie, Taz and Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning, bud.
Hey, no problem.
Charlie, let's talk about this first and foremost. Is Pittsburgh a buzz with maybe the stories of Rome maybe burning up in New England, right? The run might be coming to an end up in Foxborough.
I mean, they're confident down here, and they really felt like they were robbed, and that AFC Championship game should be home in Pittsburgh. But, hey, you know, that they have to roll what they have at this point. So, of course, and because I was confused because the week of Cleveland, I'm thinking to myself, all the news talk that was around here, I'm thinking to myself, are we playing New England or are we playing the Browns? There was no mention of Cleveland at all during that week.
Oh, man.
That is funny.
And let me ask you, man, how's the health of Antonio Brown?
He looks like he's going to be a full go. I mean, he practiced, and the way that he's moving around, he looks like he's ready to go. I mean, barring any setback that may happen over the next few days, I don't anticipate any, but I fully expect to see Antonio on the field this week.
You know, Charlie, what do you think the Steelers learned from the matchup with Jacksonville in the regular season, besides not throwing pick six with Roethlisberger through two of them?
Well, I think they learned they need to run the football. And at that time, they were the worst run defense in the league at that point. And I'm not sure where they are statistically right now. But when you come out and throw the football 55 times, it makes you scratch your head. And you're saying, they're the best pass defense, but the worst rush worst rush defense, and you didn't attempt to run the football that game. They learned that they need to get Le'Veon involved in his offense, and I fully expect that to happen.
What about stopping the run, conversely speaking? You know, Shazier was so important. I mean, he's such a wonderful player. He is. But the concern I'd have against Pittsburgh is this, right? Bortles can't throw, and we'll get to Bortles here momentarily. But are the Steelers going to be able to control the line of scrimmage and stop Fournette's ground game?
They're going to have to. I mean, they gave up 181 yards last time out. And, you know, 90 of it did come on one run, but they still gave up 181. So I think this is something that, you know, they're going to be one-dimensional. They're going to try to attempt to run the football. The weather is changing as we speak. At one point, it was supposed to be 30 degrees. Now I'm looking at the forecast. It's only supposed to be 18 degrees that day. So you know with the weather changing, they're going to run the football, and they have to – you know, we always say try to make them one-dimensional, but that's what Jacksonville is. You know what they're doing, and they just tell you to stop them.
Well, you know, we were talking a second about Blake Bortles. We talked the other day about it too, Charlie. And so in your opinion, you know, you think it's just for Blake Bortles to have a good game? Is it all about his legs? Because I just don't think he could throw against that Steeler defense.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it makes you scratch your head because he played a beautiful game against the Ravens over there in London, and then everything else seems to go downhill. And he's one of those streaky type of passers. So last week was something that I saw that was new to his element, where he's rushing the football. And, you know, I think I don't know what the final stat line was, but I know it was very close. He may have more rushing yards than passing. But
it's pretty close.
I'm not sure.
Did,
you know, I don't know what's going on with that, because I really thought that he was on the upswing, the way he was developing as a passer. And right now it just seemed like they're pulling that away from him and saying, listen, don't make any mistakes. If it's not down the field, run the football. And it kind of reminds me of the Steelers, when they played the Bears earlier and they lost to Mike Glennon up there. They ran the football. Glennon was not even looking to attempt to throw the football down the field. If it wasn't there, all he did was check it down to his back where he ran the football. It seems that's where Blake Bortles is going into that category.
You know, listen, we all don't know the backstory about what's going on with Bortles down there in Jacksonville. I'm not saying that there is, but I mean, it's just that you've seen the regression. You mentioned the streakiness. When you watch him play, though, Charlie, how much does confidence come into play when he steps on the field? Because he looks like he's got little to no confidence throwing it right now.
Yeah, it just looks like his eyes are removed from looking down the field and looking at that offensive line. So when you start looking at that pass rush, of course you're missing things down the field. Haven't studied him enough to really give him that evaluation, but just looking at those couple games that I saw when they played up here in Pittsburgh, it looks that's what he's doing. So the one thing that he has is You know, you beat the Steelers earlier this year. The quarterback that they compared you to coming into the league with Ben Roethlisberger, he's across the field. So maybe that's added motivation for him to want to go out and prove that maybe he is that guy. And I think number three is he's playing for his future. Yeah, you are on a one-year contract this year, but you are playing to prove that you are valuable to this organization. And if he can get them to that AFC Championship game, that would be a huge step for him.
So, Charlie, everybody knows this very well documented, Tom Brady, his greatness, no matter if you like Brady or not, you know, whatever people's feelings is on a guy. You know, do you think it's crucial, though, for Big Ben to beat Tom Brady? If we get to that, which we probably will, do you think it's crucial for Big Ben to beat Tom Brady to secure his legacy?
Yeah, well, I don't know if he necessarily secures his legacy because I truly believe that Ben is a Hall of Famer. This is a guy over 50,000 yards. So, two Super Bowls to his credit. So, I think when you look back to see where he is, the only thing that comes to mind when you mention about Ben is the fact that he never had to go through Tom Brady to get to the Super Bowl. So that's the one thing that he is really pressing. And I know he doesn't want to hear it, but you know as a player, okay, yeah. I got to get past this hurdle. So he had the opportunity last year up there in Foxborough. It didn't work out. He has to now, if he's going to go through Tom Brady again, he's going to have to go back up there and beat him. So, yeah, it's in his mind, and they've talked about it, and Mike Tomlin came out early enough to talk about it 4 weeks ahead of time before the game and say, yeah, I'm going to address the elephant in the room, and we're talking about New England. Everybody's like, wait, we're playing the Bengals right now. Why are you talking about New England? So they knew what was at stake when the schedule came out. After I predicted the schedule was going to be, or at least the team's record was going to be 13-3, and they have to, wherever they beat New England, the game's home. If they lose, they're going up to Foxborough, and that's exactly what's happening.
We're talking to Charlie Batch, former Steelers quarterback, Steelers Radio Network. Charlie, this group, as they get set for the divisional round against Jacksonville, the mindset of this team, is this a confident group, even with the loss to the Pats in the regular season, about them realizing and reaching their goal of getting to the Super Bowl and potentially winning it?
Yeah, it is, and this is something that, you know, I really wanted to see how they were going to respond after the loss to the Patriots, and they went down to Houston. They were a focus group, and they really dominated that football game from start to end, and they were able to close it out with the Browns with their backup. So this team is right where they want to be. The confidence level is there. You can see it when you walk into that room, and you felt that in training camp because the expectations of, we are a Super Bowl winning team. And they never wavered from that. They never stopped when they talked about the expectations of this football team. So I think that's a direct reflection of Mike Tomlin and what he expected from this football team, and they are two steps away from it.
Yeah, they are two steps away, with Jacksonville being that first step standing in their way this weekend and in the early game on Sunday afternoon. What's the biggest concern you have about the Steelers, Charlie?
The biggest concern right now is going to be that the missing of Ryan Shazier on that run defense. He's missing. They've given up a lot of plays. Their pass defense has given up a lot of huge plays in the middle, and they've been trying to figure out who and what that rotation of the linebacker position is going to be. Do they have enough to do that? I don't know, because right now they're only thinking about a three-game season, not about next year and who's going to fill that spot. If we have the guys in the group to patch this right now, they can hopefully get it done, and obviously – you can't turn the football over, and that's something that they did against Jacksonville. So you know Ben Roethlisberger is looking from near. So I'm looking to see how aggressive he is down the field, and he's going to challenge those defensive backs, and that's going to kind of let me know early what the mindset of his he is coming into this game.
You think they win Sunday?
I do. I really do think they win. And that's just not being a homer. Of course, I've played with the Steelers for 11 years.
Oh, that's just being smart.
And it is, because, you know, a lot was made after that football game when Ben threw five interceptions, and the narrative was maybe he doesn't have it anymore. He's contemplating retirement. And I literally went on the limb. I said, I sat next to Ben, and I backed him up for 9 seasons. That's not his mentality to quit. That's not his mentality to not accept responsibility. He did that in the early part of his interview, but everybody else talked about what else he said after the fact. Mm. And people thought that he was doubting himself. That's not Ben. Ben went out there and said, listen, I accept it. I need to be able to do better. And that's why he said 2 weeks ago, and they asked him, who do you want to play? He said, of course I want to play Jacksonville, because I want to better what I did prior to. Here's his chance.
Charlie, we'll close it out here. Taz and I have been talking about it this morning, and coming off the national championship game that we all watched on Monday night down in Atlanta, and, you know, Saban and what he accomplished collegiately. Do you think Saban and he has experience in the NFL. Do you think Saban needs to go back to the NFL for legacy standards? Do you think there's something missing for him, unfulfilled, his failure down in Miami, or do you think Nick Saban's just A-OK down at Alabama?
No, I think he's A-OK down there. This is how he can retire. He can ride off into the sunset. Now, if he never tried the NFL route, then, yeah, you can criticize that. But he did it, and it didn't work for him. He came back. Same thing happened with Steve Spurrier when he was in the college ranks. Everybody challenged him. He didn't get it done in the professional ranks. So I think when you look at where Saban is at, man, he did a phenomenal job, even though I was rooting for Georgia. Bama win it every year.
Yeah.
But, you know, congratulations to him. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, went out there, and when you have, you know, the top dollar, you can recruit, and that's all obviously what college comes down to. You can you recruit, and he's able to bring the best guys in, because there's no way when you go to the national championship you bring a quarterback in that's the top dual threat into your program, and ultimately it pays off for him, bringing him another championship. So congratulations to Saban.
Charlie, last question. Gruden, Raiders, does he bring them to the promised land? Do they win? What's the deal here?
He has all the pieces in place. And, of course, anytime you look at a program, you're looking at the quarterback position. You know, when you look at where Derek Carr is at, this is a guy who's at a Pro Bowl level prior to. Everybody's down on him. But when you break bones in your back, and I don't know if you ever broke a bone in your back.
My neck.
That's probably the worst thing that can happen.
It's horrible.
I wouldn't wish that on anybody, because I broke my back in my rookie season. And that's a very, very tough situation. I still have, you know, problems with it now. And here it is almost 20 years later. But that's something you just can't throw it. But I think when you have and look and see where all the pieces are at with him, I think they have their guy. They're confident in him. Now, when you sign a 10-year deal, you are married to that guy. So I don't want to hear you say, oh, he's not the guy anymore. No, 2029, he shouldn't be your guy.
He is the guy. Charlie Batch, former Steelers quarterback, Steelers Radio Network. Hey, Charlie, we appreciate a couple minutes this morning. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, all right? And have a good call this weekend.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.